Over there is the sound effects room, and this is Studio A.
Well, what's going on in there?
It's a field test rehearsal with Rudy Valley and company.
Oh, yes, that's Rudy's new show, isn't it? Are visitors allowed inside?
Yes, I believe he permits visitors. Would you like to go in?
Sure.
Opening medley.
I passed it out. The boys have it on the stand.
Let's see. There goes yesterday, and the time goes by, right?
Right.
Boys, we'll take There Goes Yesterday played very brightly and lightly. Time goes by a little slower and somewhat in rhythm. Ken, have your singers ready and watch their lyrics, will you? Here we go. Two beats. One, two.
Love and glory, a face of you and I. The world will always welcome love.
isn't bad, boys, but I think we can do better. We'll polish it up later. Relax a few minutes.
Mr. Valley?
Yes, Miss D?
This is Mr. Evans of the Seal Test Company.
Mr. Evans? How do you do, Mr. Evans?
How do you do?
I'm glad that you dropped in at the rehearsal, Mr. Evans. This is my arranger, Bud Weber. He was asking me a little while ago, just what is Seal Test? I think perhaps you can explain it much better than I.
Why, certainly, Rudy. The word Seal Test is perhaps best compared to the word sterling on silver, or Irving Berlin on song. It's a hallmark of quality denoting and standing for excellence and perfection in the products on which it appears. You've probably noticed on certain bottles of milk or cream, packages of cheese and ice cream that you've purchased, a small label that's growing bigger every year, Seal Test. That word on those products means that the bottle of milk or cream, or that package of cheese or ice cream, from its very beginning as a dairy product, has been under the most careful supervision as to its handling, testing, and manufacture. Stands for the sterilization by live steam of tiled walls, floors, cans, and bottle equipment, and for the highest standards of inspection, handling, and delivery. It stands as a symbol for 4,000 large dairies and their plants, the 200,000 farmers, dairymen, manufacturers, and distributors throughout the United States. That, gentlemen, is Seal Test.
Mr. Valley,
yeah, where have you been?
Oh, Mr. Valley, I was home asleep. When suddenly, telephone ringing. It is you. You want me here. I jump out of bed. I step on the dock. I put on my clothes. I jump to my motorcycle and... Voila! I'm here.
My. Well, now that you are here, I want to know what's happened. My orchestra doesn't sound the same.
You mean they sound good?
You know what I mean. Now stop evading the issue and tell me what's happened, or I'll get myself a new assistant.
A new assistant? But I'm your assistant. You know what? I have myself an assistant. But my assistant is not as good as your assistant, and I am your assistant.
Get to the point.
I wanted to surprise you with a new orchestra to give your regular voice a rest once in a while, and I left my assistant in charge of a new orchestra.
Yes.
I told him I wanted organization, coordination.
Yes.
I wanted the strings to play together, the trumpet. I told him to rehearse them like Roxy's Choral. For 10 hours, for 12 hours, for 16 hours. For 10 hours, for 16 hours, and then I came back. Well, how did it sound?
Not so good. But they danced beautifully. Now, listen, I don't want any more nonsense here. I want to know what's wrong with my orchestra, and I want to know right now.
Well, you see, three of the boys from the other orchestra are substituting today in your orchestra. Didn't you recognize their strange faces?
You know, when I work, I keep my eyes closed.
Oh, since that grapefruit incident, I thought you kept your eyes open.
Never mind that. I want to talk to these substitutes.
Very well, Monsieur Valley. I will call them.
Bring them. Valley,
sit down. Sit down.
Tell him. All right, go ahead and tell him, and just see if I'll ever loan you my sister's girdle again. Hey, Fudder, what are you crying about?
Oh, why shouldn't I be flooding my glimmers? If you was an uptown hepcat like this sender and got your ear bent by a bunch of drop-down icky corn muffins with straw in their cup of Rudy Tootin' of Azimutaz to a flock of bent-up wind tunnels, while a bunch of brown haircuts sat around with their chops open, you'd be crying, too.
Talk American. He sounds like a stir-crazy con. Was just at his hack store trying to chop his way out of solitary with his pie.
What he meant to infer, gentlemen, is that when a man of rhythmic diatonic, such as himself, becomes the unwilling auditor of, say, a Bach concerto rendered by a group of gentlemen of the old school, he is moved to tears of indignation. In other words, as far as he is concerned, my band was corny.
Well, I guess we can't blame them. My feet hurt, too. Hey, I used to play the bass fiddle once, but I had to give it up. It hurt me socially.
How could playing a bass fiddle hurt you socially?
Well, you see, every time I got up to dance with a girl, from force of habit, I'd grab her around the neck with one hand and start beating her on the back with the other. How did you become a band leader, Mr. Valley?
When I was a kid, I ate a lollipop and just didn't want to waste the stick. Hey, you there. What do you play?
A mean licorice stick.
Talk American.
He means he plays the clarinet. Now, suppose you fellas start learning your parts. We're preparing a concert for the kiddies.
boy. Well, I send them half-pint rod cutters out of this world.
You harm a hair in them kids' heads, and I'll send you out of this world feet first.
No, 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 Pat. He means he'll manipulate a hot clarinet to the utter delight of the juvenile. Report to the sax section. Relax a minute, boys.
Yes, ready, Mr. Valley.
Where have you been, Willie? You were supposed to be here 2 hours ago.
Very sorry, Mr. Valley. Had to press your dress suit, remember?
Oh, that's right, Willie. I did tell you to press my dress suit, didn't I?
Yes, Mr. Valley. Why, pressing pants, telephone rings.
Yes?
So left iron on pants and answer telephone.
You left iron on the pants and answer the telephone? For goodness sake, Willie, what happened?
Wrong number.
That's fine. That's fine, Willie Fung. Here, I've got a vitally important date with my sponsor tonight, and you burned the pants of my dress suit. On top of that, some of my men have become sick, and I have to get substitutes. Oh, the bottom has dropped out of everything.
Bottom dropped off pants, too.
A fine thing to do to the chief. How to chop you under the chin.
You chop me, too.
Leave him alone, Mike. Leave him alone.
Thank you, Mr. Valley. Me very happy man today. Just got picture of family in China. See?
I didn't know you had such a large family.
Well, you look at that Fung family. 18 kids.
You're quite a man, Willie.
Yes, sir. Some Fung, see, kid?
Oh, Willie, did Gabby do everything I told him to do at the ranch?
Me no know, boss. Gabby have pretty blonde girl at ranch all day.
A blonde? Uh-huh, is that so? Well, I'll tell him a thing or two. Mike, get Gabby on the phone and tell him to come over here immediately.
Okay, kid.
I've just passed out music, for I have got my eyes on you.
Oh, yes, that's that Cole Porter tune from the Broadway melody of 1940, isn't it?
Oui, Mr. Valley.
Here we go, boys. I got my eyes on you in two. One, two. Virginia here for her test?
Here I am, Mr. Valley.
Your name is?
Sylvia.
That's right, Sylvia. And you're 16 years old, aren't you? What would you like to sing for us?
I've several things here. I think you like Mozart's Alleluia.
The boys have a music on the stand, Rudy.
Mr. Valley, I've never sung in front of a microphone before. What do I do?
Well, I'd say simply treat it as though it were a human ear. When you sing loud, move back. When you sing softly, come in closer. Here we go, Alleluia.
Thank you.
Please remember, after all, this is a rehearsal. We must have no applause.
Giovanni?
Just a minute, Pierre. Sylvia, I really think maybe perhaps our audience was justified in applauding. It was really excellent. I see you have an arrangement of just for a little of a little kit. Would you mind if I join you for a little duet?
Why, of course not. I'd be happy if you would.
When the scented night of summer covers field and city with its veil of blue, all the lanes are full of straying lovers murmuring the words I say to you. Just a little love, a little kiss, just a nod that holds a world of bliss. Eyes that tremble like the stars above me, and the little words that say you love me.
In our boarding house, Mike hears a lady singing in the bathtub. And what do you think he does? He goes over. And get this. He goes over and he puts his ear to the keyhole. What do you think of that?
To this nonsense I do not have to listen to.
Oh, you should never end a sentence with a preposition.
You clarinetist. How do you dare to criticize me, a great artist? All you can do is make pipsqueaks.
Well, I used to play the piano.
Thus I do not believe.
I swear by my maiden aunt that I did.
Still, I do not believe.
Well, let me tell you something. When I was 1 year old, I played the piano with one finger.
So?
And when I was 2 years old, I played it with two fingers.
So?
And when I was 3 years old, I played it with three fingers.
So?
When I was 19 years old, I gave up playing the piano.
But why?
Because it was so uncomfortable taking off my shoes whenever I wanted to play.
Does that satisfy you, buddy?
My name is not Bunny.
You see, it is Pierre Jacques. Blue, blue.
Jacques.
Yeah, that's French for Joyce.
I will give you to understand that my name is internationally known. Graduate of the Paris Conservatory of Music, 1923. graduate of the Italian Conservatory of Music, 1924. First violinist with the Boston Symphony. 1925, conductor of the Washington Symphony. 1926.
Gee, and I thought I couldn't hold on to a job.
Oh, ho! Perhaps you have done better.
Oh, me?
Yes, you. What are your accomplishments, your record attainments? What can you say for yourself?
Champagne, a pocket pole, Hackensack, YMCA, 1919. First place, San Quentin, 1923. Second place, Leavenworth, 1928. Quarterback, Sing Sing, 1932. Now at liberty, have tuxedo and will travel.
Enough of this. Enough of this. We've got work to do.
Take your hands off me or I'll shoot you so full of holes you look like a sieve. Confounded coyotes. Imagine letting a man come to see his own boss.
Hello, Gabby. Boys, this is Gabby Hayes, my ranch foreman.
Darn good thing I didn't lose my temper. So you call this an orchestra, eh? Pretty scrawny-looking bunch of mavericks, if you ask me. Looks like you ought to turn them out to graze for a while, Rudy.
Never mind. How's the ranch?
Oh, ranch? Jobs, everything's fine up Valley Hills, Rudy. Tip-top.
Everything done as I asked you to?
Sure, everything just like you said. I had a little mite of trouble hearing you on that new telephone, but I done everything you told me to.
Good. House is all cleaned up, is it?
Yep. I must say, though, I couldn't understand why you wanted them to burn all them mattresses. Well, it was almost new.
Burn them, Gabby. I said turn them.
Turn them? Don't that beat all? You know, I know there was something wrong with that telephone. Well, anyway, I fixed up front yard like you wanted.
Well, that ought to look better.
Sure does.
You planted grass in all the bare spots.
Yep. Coming up already.
Fine. And you moved that old junk out of the yard.
Junk? That ain't what you said.
Yes, it is. I said remove that debris from the front yard.
Well, I'll say that, but remove the debris. Well, I swore you said remove that bay tree.
You didn't cut down my bay tree. Why, that tree was imported from England. It was the only bay tree in this part of the country.
Now, don't go getting yourself all head up. Still got three.
But you said.
Sure, it's all stacked up nice and neat on the back porch.
Oh, is everything else all right?
Sure, everything's fine. Got meat enough for all year. Beef hanging all over the house.
All right. How about my cattle? Are they getting plenty to eat? Wait a minute. What did you say about beef hanging?
I said I done just like you told me about them cattle.
Gabby, look. I said be sure and water the cattle.
Water? Are you sure you didn't say slaughter?
To give me common sense. If I had an ounce of common sense,
if we only had an ounce of common sense,
I could while away the hours conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel any riddle for every individual in trouble or in pain. And with the thoughts I'd be thinking, I could be an Arthur Lincoln if I only had a brain.
If we only had a brain.
Oh, I could tell you why. ocean near the shore, I could think of things I never thunk before. And then I'd sit and think some more. I would not be just a nothing, my head all full of stuffing, my heart all full of pain. And perhaps I deserve you, and even worthy of you, if I only had a brain.
If I only had a brain.
Smells like lemon drops away above the chimney top. That's where.